Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to the Newsbusters podcast. We're all on pins and needles waiting for the Biden press conference. What will happen? We do know that he's only having the press conference, I think, because things ain't going well. Scott Whitlock and I are going to discuss in just a couple of minutes how this is not the press's fault. But first, I wanted to say for just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk about CNN's fact checker, Daniel Dale, and the CNN fact checking page. You know, they brought him on from Toronto, the Toronto Star, CNN, to fact check Trump, to obsess over Trump. And now, where is he on Biden? So Steve Krakauer noticed this in his newsletter. David Rutz at Fox News has a piece up, and then I did a piece as well, that Daniel Dale hasn't done a fact check of Biden in more than 6 weeks. You have to go back to December 5. Instead, he's fact checking claims from Republicans who are trying to make a point about voter ID in D.C. You notice this, that the mayor of D.C. now says, oh, if you're going to go out, you have to have a vax card and your ID. Now, I went to a concert at the Kennedy Center and they required that, but it's just comical from people who've made a huge deal about how voter ID is Jim Crow, especially a female black mayor of the District of Columbia. I mean, what fun. But Daniel Dale is doing what fact checkers do. Republicans can't mock this. And then their whole thing was, there was somebody tweeted about you can't buy milk in D.C. without an ID. So he's like, oh, this isn't about grocery stores. This is for food courts and food halls, nightclubs, breweries, entertainment venues, exercise facilities, and meeting facilities. So this is what fact checkers do. They're like, let's find the one tweet where we can say that something they said about a Democrat we like is false. I mean, if you just go to the facts first page and look at what the headlines are, it says everything. Right at the top of the page is this fact check, false claims about D.C. requiring photo ID to buy milk. And also, does this the usual CNN obsession? Fact checking Jim Jordan's letter to the January 6th committee. Fact checking Kevin McCarthy's comments about the January 6th committee. Fact check five enduring lies about the Capitol insurrection. Anatomy of a lie, how the myth that Antifa stormed the Capitol became a widespread belief among Republicans. That one's from last March, and they're still highlighting it on the CNN page. It gets funnier. So then you go down a click, and you go for where it says Biden White House. This is what's on under the category Biden White House. Fact check, social media users spread fake Betty White quote about getting a COVID-19 booster shortly before she died. Fact check, five enduring lies about the Capitol insurrection. Wait a minute, that's already 2 inches up the page. Republican candidates across the country refuse to acknowledge Biden won legitimately. That's under Biden White House. And fact check, several news outlets inaccurately reported key detail of Meadows' story about Trump and protesters. Now, I'm not saying that these fact checks might not be legitimate in terms of their correcting some information. It's just the subject matter's remarkably obsessive, like CNN itself. Dale has the same disease as the media in general. Fact-checking Biden energetically could create the impression he might resemble Trump in some ways. So there's, you know, we can't fact-check Biden on a regular basis. Now, we'll see today, after this press conference, whether they're going to find it. Because, I mean, the last time Dale got serious about evaluating Biden was when Biden appeared on a CNN town hall. So we'll be looking for that. So how is Biden doing? Not great. But we thought, hey, when it comes to the one-year anniversary of the inauguration, we should obviously look at how the media did. Scott Whitlock's been doing that for weeks. And the report is up at Newsbusters. Headline, study, how the network's buried 1 year of Biden's disasters, failures, and controversies. Now, if you've paid attention to Scott's work and Rich Noyce's work over the last year, we're going to start with the border because I think that's always the best example of how they tried not to cover things where Biden isn't doing well. So, obviously, we had a burst of coverage at one point for the border, but again, not lately. So what did we find here in December, Scott?
Hey, thanks for having me on again. Well, so what we found with the border is this is just one of those examples where they can cover it if they want to, because back in March, yeah, they gave it 113 minutes, which is kind of astonishing if you look how far it's fallen. And in December, there was 3 minutes and 43 seconds. That's it. And as bad as that is, that's actually better than November. When there was nothing on the evening newscast. That's
zero on all three.
Yeah, zero on all three. And so what we kept finding, because Rich Noyes would do this when he was doing this study throughout the year, and then when I was doing it, was it seemed like every month it was like a new high for border crossings. And this is at least the highest it's been in 20 years. We're still waiting on the January numbers or the December numbers that come out in January, but it's been really bad. It's not gotten any better, and they just decide when they can, they drop it.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of the amazing part, because obviously the border was an obsession of the last presidents. He won running on border control. And so there was all kinds of stories basically advocating on behalf of the illegal immigrants about the viciousness of Trump. This issue just dies. So I guess in December, you said it was 3 minutes, 43 seconds, but 260 seconds of that was NBC. So ABC was 17 seconds, CBS was 20 seconds. Isn't it quite obvious, Scott, that people might think that everything's better?
Right. So many of these stories that we're going to talk about today and just... in the Biden year, in general, they try and bury it. As things get worse and worse on various fronts, they just drop these stories. So yeah, you might think that, because right, 17 seconds on ABC, 20 seconds on CBS, and in November there was nothing. So they more or less just decided, well, this is not an issue anymore. We're not covering it.
Yeah, I mean, this is where we would argue with people to say the news media is not an independent set of people who decide, let's visit these topics again. I think it becomes quite clear that when the Biden people or the Democratic Party in general don't want to talk about something, then somehow we're not going to talk about something. Now, the other big story, I think, in terms of evaluating Biden, and probably the main reason why his approval rating started to tank, was abandoning Afghanistan. So not only did Biden abandon Afghanistan, as you suggest in your headline here, the networks have abandoned Afghanistan because not a good storyline for Biden.
Right. And again, this is an example, much like the border, that they can do their jobs. They can cover these things, cover bad news for a Democratic president if they want to. Because we looked at, I wanted to see how they were covering it in August, which is obviously that was the worst month for the United States, for Afghanistan, for the Biden administration, for everyone, you know, because we had all just one unfolding disaster after another as the country fell, as the United States pulled out. We had the Marines that were killed. It was just one disaster after another. And so for that month, we had 409 minutes in August in the evening newscast. But we checked again in October, and that month it was down to 16 minutes. And it's not as though there weren't awful things continuing to happen in October. There were. They just had simply kind of decided, well, much like the border, we're done with that.
Yeah, I think that there... This is where I would say, again, we say this all the time, the network news doesn't seem so much like news. It seems like a narrative. And they weren't interested in the narrative, as you're suggesting here. You have certain lines of coverage that you could do. You could be what's happening to the girls in Afghanistan and their schooling. What's happening to, are there still people, translators and Americans who are still trapped in Afghanistan? These are stories that they just haven't been interested in. And then when they're actually covering it, you have one here on October 27, Lester Holt. On the NBC Nightly News, a new warning about the terrorist threat from Afghanistan. A senior Pentagon official says ISIS-K could regain the ability to attack the U.S. in just 6 months, with U.S. troops now gone from Afghanistan. Well, How? Why is that a short story? I mean, that, and why aren't they all doing that story?
Right. You think that type of story might lead the newscast. In October, it was estimated a couple hundred Americans still trapped there. CNN reported the day I published my study that there was at least still 80. So look, are these people abandoned? Are they stuck? Are we going to give up on them? All of these things should be big stories. And so again, with Biden, this is just, we keep saying it, but they could cover this if they want. But what we saw over and over again, I did a study on polls, as soon as when they can get off a topic that is bad news for Biden, they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing for them to try to say, having resources in Afghanistan is expensive. You know, the way that the network news now doesn't want to cover the world that much because it's expensive to have somebody sitting there. I mean, obviously, NBC's got Richard Engel trying to cover these things. They all have foreign correspondents, and they have correspondents at the Pentagon. It's not like they can't do these stories. They're just choosing not to. And yes, when you evaluate Biden, you know, they're not going to come in here in year one and say, oh, yeah, remember when they allowed 13 Marines to be killed by a terrorist? Oh, and remember how they tried to drone in response to that and they killed a bunch of children? Those things aren't remembered. I think you and I remember they're going to drag that out like Marines being killed in Libya under Reagan. They kept dragging that out for a decade or so. And this is why they don't want to talk about something, because they don't want it to be what you might say on his permanent record. Then we'll switch to what may be my favorite topic, the Biden scandals, the Biden family scandals. Hunter Biden, of course, one of the most suppressed stories, infamously suppressed in 2020, not just by the news media, but by our social media, that they all said, no, I'm sorry, the New York Post can't post on Twitter because Hunter Biden shall not be discussed. And then they all act outraged when people say that the elections were rigged. Well, sometimes that's what Republicans will say when they say the election was rigged, is the media, the news media and the social media, at least suppress stories that were bad for Biden. This is continuing, you say. What Hunter Biden details did we have? His art career?
Right. Yeah. It. You know, critics may argue, okay, Hunter Biden isn't part of the Biden administration. True, but he's obviously connected to his dad. We saw that with the laptop story in 2020. But yeah, I think the biggest story for Hunter Biden that shows a conflict of interest for Joe Biden is the art stuff. So it was this ongoing story where Hunter Biden had decided he was an artist and he was going to sell these prints. And so they ended up selling for $375,000, $75,000 each.
Wait, let me just break in there for a second. These are not actual paintings. They're prints of a painting.
Correct.
Who's paying $75,000 for a print that's not the actual painting? Now, I understand Hunter Biden isn't Pablo Picasso, but my goodness, I mean, this is amazing.
That, and right, and that is the question. Who is paying for these? We still don't really know. Other issues related to this art sale was that the art gallery that was hosting one of these got $500,000 in COVID money, or stimulus money.
Right.
And so there's plenty of these things related to the art sales that could be looked into, that could be investigated, that seem like real problems for the administration and real problems of conflict of interest. But what we found was there was about 5 minutes of coverage in total over the whole year from last January to this January of Hunter Biden. And I could go on. I mean, there's other stories. There's the reported loss of a second laptop by him. There was Hunter in text using the N-word, and which, okay, that's not Joe Biden, but we certainly know how they covered people related to Donald Trump last term.
Yeah, obviously, Trump's children, they always considered much more newsworthy than Biden's children, except they have this tendency to drag out Beau. They never want to talk about Hunter, but they love talking about Beau, like, oh, the poor Biden's what they've been through. AP had a story about Jill Biden and how Jill Biden's the healer in chief. And of course, they had to drag this out, like, and there's been tragedy in the Biden family, too. And that always comes out. But, you know, whole story on Jill Biden. Hunter Biden's not going to come up. You wrote, the last mention of Hunter on the network evening newscast came on July 12 about the art sale. But this painting, the sale of the prints happened in October.
Right.
And
right.
There was nothing.
Right. No, it kept going and going as far as the story itself and what should be a newsworthy controversy for Joe Biden. But no, they completely dropped it. Like, you know, again, saying it over and over again, when they can, they're going to drop it. So this idea that we're seeing now that the media is turning on Joe Biden, I think that the correct way to put it is that they're just acknowledging reality, but they're not turning. As soon as they can go back to covering for him on a particular issue, they will.
Well, and if you look at sort of the, you're right that the, you know, they're going to say, well, we can't try to argue he's popular right now. They will make excuses for why he's unpopular, but they're not going to deny he's unpopular. But they do, you know, there was this remarkable story on NBCNews.com that was all about the reset. And it's like, you know, the whole story was Biden strategists and Michael Beschloss, and they were all saying, well, he just needs to reset his communication strategy. Like, that's going to help. But, that, you know, they're still doing stenography to power articles for Biden. It's just those things aren't moving the needle. I mean, I think it's amazing he's doing as badly as it is when they're skipping all the stuff. So let's take a look. I want to underline this for you people. You got to get here and read what Scott has. But total ABC coverage of Hunter, 57 seconds in the first year of his presidency. Total CBS evening coverage, 60 seconds. Total NBC nightly news coverage, 191 seconds. I mean, that's called let's just not pay any attention to this. You know, there's a book came out about the Biden family and the way the Biden family has made a lot of money off Biden being in office. And there, we'll just repeat again, they're not going to talk about Joe and Jill's actual daughter, Ashley Biden, her husband, Howard Krein, how he's checked in. Biden has brothers, James Biden and Frank Biden. These people are all making money off Joe Biden, and the networks don't care. I mean, they're all the ones that were making just nasty pieces about Ivanka Trump being complicit.
Right.
Saturday Night Live did skits on the Trump kids all the time. And they're just, this is the difference. So you, again, Scott, if you're watching these, they'd be like, casual news viewers wouldn't have any idea who Hunter Biden is at this point.
Right. And I think that when you look at Joe Biden's polls, it just shows how much worse it could be, because Trump, as we reported and Rich did study after study, had terrible media coverage. They drove his polling down. Biden in the first year and in the campaign had great media coverage. Imagine if they were even a little bit confrontational. According to Real Clear Politics study, he's at 40.9. Imagine what that number would be without a year's worth of fawning coverage.
Yeah, Scott said this on Twitter today. I think that what Biden's original started out this year at what, 56%?
Yes.
And now he's at 40. And of course, some of these polls, was it Quinnipiac, had him at 33.
Right.
So it is remarkable to me that he'd be doing this badly. And that it just shows you, I guess people would say, well, Tim, you guys always think that the liberal media are all powerful. Well, no, we're not saying they're all powerful, but we are trying to say what we always say, which is if you watch them on a routine basis, they're plugging every day for the Democrats. Doesn't always work. But they do. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about in Scott's report was the radical nuts that Biden nominated. And you didn't hear about them because, well, in some cases you could argue, well, these were positions not many people know about. Well, that didn't matter with Trump. They made every Trump pick. They made lots of Trump picks wildly controversial. Let's start with Javier Becerra. Who is has a major job as Health and Human Services Secretary. You were saying they didn't care how radical he was.
No. The total coverage of him on the ABC evening newscast was 8 seconds. And that was 8 seconds just to say he's been confirmed. So
that doesn't really count.
Right. No. But no, he's incredibly radical. When he was attorney general in California, he sued the Little Sisters of the Poor. He's been for open borders, radical on gun control, on abortion, all of these things. And he would, of the people in this this section of my study, he's probably the biggest name and the kind of biggest position, but they didn't care about him at all. And with Trump, obviously, when he had nominees or dysfunction in the government, they love to cover all that sort of thing. But with these people, they didn't want to talk about it. They buried it and they ignored it.
Let's remind people that Trump's first Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tom Price, they basically got him dumped by digging around in his flight records. And, you know, he was wildly controversial. What's fascinating to me about this, Scott, is it's the Health and Human Services Secretary in a time of a global pandemic. They named a guy who has no health background, no medical background, no real health policy background. And that wasn't worth reporting on either. So it's kind of fascinating the way that they just, again, they decided this is not a big issue. I would imagine the only way they'd really want to cover this is, hey, look at the diversity of the Biden cabinet. And speaking of that, one of the other ones that you had studied was a woman named Sally Omarova, who came from Russia, who's an Asian Russian American. That was a story. It didn't matter how nutty she was in defending the USSR, they didn't want to cover that.
Right. Now, this could be the one where you could say, well, I've never heard comptroller of the currency. Fine, but it's a part of the Treasury Department. It's actually an important position. And she just kind of underlined the idea that some of these people were really crazy and wacky. Our colleague Kyle Drennan, when I was telling him about all of this, and he said something like, oh, the communist. And turns out he was referring to one of the other nominees because there's so many that are extremists. And yeah, she had tweeted something that the old Soviet Union was good for equality and fairness when it came to women. Like, the Soviet Union murdered millions of people. That is an extreme thing to say, but they pretended like it wasn't a big deal. And ultimately, her nomination failed. So, you know, but they didn't want to go into any of that.
Yeah, and then afterwards, we noted this on Newsbusters, there was a sappy 7-minute interview on NPR with Morning Edition anchor Steve Inskeep, the guy that just got hung up on by Trump. That's fine to be tough on Trump, but this is the double standard. Inskeep hasn't had a Biden interview. When he got an interview with Sally Omarova, it was all, oh, you're so misunderstood. They tried to suggest that you were a commie because you were from Russia. How rude. You know, I mean, that was the whole tone of the piece was extremely sympathetic. Then there's somebody named Tracy Stone Manning, which people's like, who on earth is that? Exactly. But this is at least, again, the Bureau of Land Management, which is maybe not a big story nationwide, but sure is a big story if you live in the Western states.
Right. And this is someone who was involved in, connected to, I should say, eco-terrorism. She was involved with the radical Earth First movement. All these things that would raise, even if you don't think the position is very sexy or interesting as far as the media, it's these things should raise a lot of red flags. And there was opposition to her, but again, there was no coverage of her because, you know, they're not going to get into that kind of controversial thing for Joe Biden, because we saw during the campaign, we did several articles about how they tried to portray him as, quote, a moderate or, quote, a centrist. And some of these nominees show, like many other things about the Biden administration, he is no moderate and he's no centrist.
Yeah, and the difference here between this and Omarova was Tracy Stone Manning was confirmed.
Yep.
In July, and so they just hustled her right through. Nominated in April, confirmed in July, no evening newscasts. Here's what's fascinating to me. You know, you mentioned Earth First. Earth First is a bunch of nuts who are basically eco-terrorists. They're the ones that put spikes in trees to harm lumberjacks. And so in a year in which they've all been lecturing us about domestic terrorism and insurrection, Biden's nominating somebody who is defending Earth First back in the day. And the news media, I remember this from early on in my youth at the Media Research Center. They were defensive on behalf of the eco-terrorists in Earth First. This is where, again, our liberal leftist media is radical enough that they want to cover for leftist extremists. And this is why, yeah, we come at January 6th and say, yeah, January 6th was bad. You know what else is bad? Left-wing terrorism. But sadly, the news media just doesn't seem to take it that way. Let's go back then to finish on the main issue, which is Biden after a year. As we were noticing, his polls are bad. The RCP average is 40.9% approval. You made the point that at the same exact point with Trump, he was at 40.1.
Right.
So you could argue they're almost indistinguishable in terms of how unpopular they are. And we all remember what happened to the Republicans in the midterms of 2018. That was a bad year for Republicans. So you've been doing some things, Scott, about how they've tried to ignore the polls, including their own polls. I know that over the Christmas break we were finding that.
Right.
There's a little bit now.
So I did a study in October that found by about 2-to-1 margin, they covered Trump's bad polls more than they covered Biden's. And by the time we did the study, that was when that just kind of started to crack and break, because, again, as we said earlier today, this is all they're doing now is acknowledging reality. And it gets so bad that at a certain point, they have to cover it. And you've said, you've made the point, part of the reason they want to start covering bad news for Biden now is to try and turn things around and say, look, guys, friends in the Democratic Party.
Reset.
Yeah, you need to take this seriously, because you may not be just be looking at a bad November. You may be looking at a really bad November. So that's part of the reason of why I think they're covering it. Part of it is just because they can't avoid it. But part of it is because they're trying to see if they can turn things around between now and November.
Yeah, I mean, I have to think when Joe Lockhart goes on reliably liberal, reliable sources and says, well, the media's failed because they're not being nice enough to Biden. On some level, it feels like he's saying, you know, it's the media's job to dig the Democrats out of these things. That's certainly what they expected when Joe Lockhart was in the Clinton White House, that Joe, you know, the media was going to dig Clinton out of his impeachment mess. And of course, they tried very hard. What was the news coverage in 1999 was all trying to shift to anything that wasn't a Clinton scandal. This is what they do. This is certainly what we would expect in the year going forward. What was it that you had done a piece also, Scott, about what to expect in 2022? Remind people what you were predicting.
Just in general, things like the fact that they're going to try and dig Biden and the Democrats out of this, that they're going to try and pick some extreme Republican in their mind, think someone like a Todd Akin or whatever,
right?
They will try and find someone like that and make them the poster boy or poster girl of the Republican Party, because there's only a couple ways to save the Democrats from what looks like, everyone is saying, a red wave. And that is, A, to do that, to pick out some Republican who is extremist, or to make everything about Donald Trump. And we saw here in Virginia with the governor's race last year, that's exactly the playbook they tried, and it failed. It didn't work. So I think those are a few of the things. Yeah, make everything about Trump, pick out an extreme Republican, and try and kind of salvage some sort of Democratic agenda. What we've seen today, I'm working on something on CNN now, which there was a bit of a tone of, well, people just don't understand all the things he's accomplished.
Yeah.
And that's a bad position to be in, to have to say, no, it has been great. You just don't understand. So I think those are some of the things that we'll see in the media going forward in the midterms.
Yeah. We should remind you, if you're a younger person, Todd Akin was running for the Senate in Missouri, and he said something unfortunate about abortion and rape, and how if you're raped, you're not going to get pregnant. And they made that like the story of 2012. It reminds me of 1994, which is what they did when Oliver North was running for the Senate, and then Michael Huffington running in California. And those were the two races they obsessed over. Then we have, what year was it, Scott? 08, where it was, or 06, when it was Christine O'Donnell in Delaware. And they found Christine O'Donnell and they found Sharon Angle in Nevada. And they were like pounding it. Because Christine O'Donnell said, I am not a witch.
Right.
And, you know, they find these gaffe-prone Republicans. And yes, this is what they've certainly done with Marjorie Taylor Greene. It is what they've done in previous cycles with Paul Gosar, because Paul Gosar has family members who hate his guts. And so they're going to do that story. So, I mean, this absolutely is the playbook, and we'll probably see them try these tactics. And I guess the other story that we're going to talk about all year long probably is voting rights, and how they're going to try to say that when if it goes bad for Democrats, it must be gerrymandering and voting integrity laws.
Right. Yeah. This all gets back to what we've seen many times in the media, that if something goes badly for the Democrats, if they lose an election or if they don't get part of their legislation through, then it's bad for democracy. It's bad for the country. And rather than just say, well, what exactly is in these voting bills? Is it really advancing voter rights, or is it just trying to advance the Democrats? I think it's definitely going to try and be portrayed by the media as this is a loss for democracy. And can we really trust the results of the midterm elections?
Well, we'll be all over that if it happens. Yeah, CNN now is... it's filling the Chris Cuomo is gone hour with an ongoing Jeremiah, actually titled Democracy in Peril. I mean, these are words borrowed from Joe Biden. They're using Joe Biden's speech talking points as titles for their show, Democracy in Peril. And this is a talking point we've just seen over and over again. And part of it, Brianna Keeler's had a segment last night on how, well, who puts democracy in peril? Fox News. They're a misinformation monster. And what's comical about all of this is, yeah, democracy's in peril because there's a news channel that actually disagrees with CNN.
Right.
We can't allow that. And this is where we keep saying, we are bringing the democracy to the media. They can't hack actually having a debate. Democracy comes from the conservative media and the conservative resistance. And that's why you come to Newsbusters. Once, twice, 24 times a day. And thanks for listening.